welcome to the SB Live California podcast. Connor Morissette here with a new guest this week, Andrew McCullough out of Texas. Andrew, we have a massive high school football game this weekend. Modern Day, the number two team in the country, according to our Power 25 rankings, is going to travel down to Duncanville and take on Duncanville in the Dallas area. We have them at number 10 in our Power 25 rankings. This is a massive game. I'll be there. You'll be there. First, I want to say welcome to the team. You're a new hire at SB Live, so welcome. But what a great start to the high school football season we'll have with this game. What a treat.
Absolutely. Thanks for that warm welcome, Connor. I'm excited to be part of a team and lead SB Live's coverage in the Texas area. And I'm extra excited for this big game we have on Friday night. Like you said, we'll both be there to cover this Texas versus California showdown. Two of the top teams nationally across the country, according to our own national top 25 there. I'm really excited for this one, Connor. It's the first game of the season for both these teams. And I think both these teams have the potential to go all the way and really contend for state titles this year.
I agree. St. John Bosco and Modern Day is a great rivalry in California. Those are, at least for the last 5 or 6 years, those clear top two teams in the state. I know Duncanville, they've been knocking on the door recently of a state title. Haven't quite gotten over the hump, but they make that title game a lot. They were a semifinalist last year. So they're really good. They got to replace a quarterback. So we'll get to all this. How I want to structure this preview show today. We'll start with a quick breakdown of both teams. I'll start with Modern Day, and then I'll toss it to Andrew for a Duncanville breakdown. We'll talk some strengths and weaknesses. Then I want to get into things that I'll be watching at the game. What are some important things to keep an eye on? X factors. And then at the end, we didn't talk about this earlier, Andrew, so I'm going to put you on the spot. I'd like to hear a score prediction. So I'll give you a little bit of time to think about that. And after maybe we hear this breakdown, you can give that score prediction, but I do want to finish with that. So does that sound good to you?
That sounds like a plan. Let's get it on.
All right. Awesome. So with Modern Day, the clear strength for this team is the defense. They have an incredible secondary led by Damani Jackson, who's a USC commit, who set the state record in the 100-meter dash with 10.25 seconds in the spring. He tied it, so it was already 10.25, but he now also holds that record. So what a great speed he has, and he's just a great football player. He's the top-rated kid in California, a clear player to watch. That secondary's loaded. They have a few other great players, too. Josh Hunter's committed to San Diego State. He was the Trinity League, which is the league Modern Day's in, player of the year last year. Another kid going to Cal, Cam Sidney. And then I think their linebacking core is the best linebacking core in California, led by David Bailey, who's uncommitted, but he's a senior who, when he's healthy, is one of the best linebackers I've ever seen. The issue with him is health, but obviously he'll be good to go just because they haven't played a game yet. And then they have a kid committed to Texas named Owen Carey, who didn't have a huge role in the spring, but they're expecting him to have a big season this year. And then the depth with both of those units is huge. That's enough about these Modern Day strengths, Andrew. What are some of the strengths for Duncanville? I know on the defensive line, they have some great players, but what do you think they do really well?
Absolutely. That's a great segue, Connor. I think when you look at the strengths of this Duncanville team, it really starts up front, primarily on that defensive line, but also on the offensive side. Defensively, this is a team with 7 defensive starters coming back, led by defensive end Omari Abor. He is the top-rated defensive end throughout the state of Texas, consensus 5-star prospect. He remains uncommitted right now, but holds offers from just about every major program in the country. You know, he's a 6'4", 240-pound edge rusher. He had 14 sacks and 26 tackles for loss last year, helping lead Duncanville to the state semifinals in 6A D1. I think he's going to be a big mismatch problem, not just for Modern Day, but for any team that runs into Duncanville this year. He's a really versatile playmaker. And right next to him on that defensive line is defensive tackle Quincy Wright, who's an Oregon State commit in his own right, very dangerous player on his own. But when you have those two guys lined up next to each other, it's a real mismatch problem for most opposing offensive lines. Wright is 6'2", 270 pounds. He had 36 tackles for loss last year and 86 tackles. I mean, when those two are right next to each other, I think you're going to have a real tough time choosing who to double team. And that obviously creates problems for the rest of this Duncanville defense, which is also really solid, with linebacker Jordan Crook, who's an Arkansas commit, really heading up the linebacking core to round out that really strong front seven. But Duncanville's biggest strength this year really might be on that offensive line. I expect that they'll have one of the better offensive lines throughout the state of Texas this year. They have two returning starters on that offensive line. Both are Power 5 commits, starting firstly with Jalen Early, a 6'5", 290-pound guard, or will likely play guard at the next level. He's committed to Florida State. And then you have the big guy, Cam Williams, on the outside at tackle, standing at 6'7", 360 pounds. He's an Oregon commit. And I imagine, especially with the Panthers breaking in a new quarterback in this game, the protection those two provide is really going to be key to seeing if Duncanville can get its footing offensively early in this game.
The best recruit on the defensive line for Modern Day is a sophomore named Aiden Breland, who was just in the top 100 for 2024, the 247 sports rankings. So he's a big-time guy. But in terms of big-time upperclassmen, they don't really have that. So I expect Modern Day to be just fine on the offensive and defensive line, just because that's how they roll. That's why they're so good every year. Even though they don't necessarily have those big-time recruits that we're used to seeing, I still expect them to be good, especially defensively. I think one potential weakness for the Monarchs offensively, they could be fine on the O-line, but they do have to replace some guys. So that's something I'm looking at. You mentioned, Andrew, the defensive line for Duncanville. Their front seven is really, really talented. They have a lot of great players. This modern-day offensive line, it's going to be young. I still think they're going to be good, but in a first-game scenario, it could be tough for them. Some of these guys getting thrown into the fire a little bit. The leader on the O-line is B.J. Tolo, who is a junior. He started since his freshman year, but he's going to be playing center this year for the first time ever, so that'll be a bit of an adjustment. They have two sophomores who they're very high on, but they're sophomores, DeAndre Carter, Brandon Baker. Senior Jack Lafin will play as well, and then senior Musula Tapusoa will play as well. Fill in some new guys there because they graduated a decent amount. And Bruce Rawlinson, their head coach, told me it's a wild card on the offensive line. So I think if there was a weakness on this team, I'd say it was their O-line. But the track record speaks for itself. The coaching that these kids get speaks for itself. The history of this team speaks for itself. I don't think they'll get manhandled. I don't think the O-line will really kill them. But that's definitely something to watch because it's a lot of new faces. And then at the skill positions, I think Modern Day will be just fine. They're returning a quarterback who's only a sophomore, but he had a fantastic freshman season. His name's Elijah Brown, and he was also in that top 100 for the 2024 class at 247sports.com. I mean, as a freshman playing in the toughest league in America, he completed 74 of 107 passes for 973 yards, 15 touchdowns, and one interception. When you do that as a freshman, you really have established that you're a premier player, so I don't expect Elijah Brown to have too many issues unless he's facing constant pressure from that Duncanville D-line, which is possible. I think that could be one potential issue for the Monarchs. But Elijah Brown showed that he's a premier player. And then at the running back spot, Relik Brown's committed to Oklahoma. He is insanely fast, great skill guy. He can catch it out of the backfield. Just really tough to bring down because he's so elusive. And then at the wide receiver spot, a bunch of depth there, but the best guys to know, C.J. Williams, a senior, committed to Notre Dame. He caught 5 touchdowns in an abbreviated spring season. And then Cooper Barkate is another kid to know. He has a bunch of offers. He didn't have that big of a spring, missed some time with injuries, but Bruce Rawlinson says he's excited to let him loose. So just in sum, I think strengths, weaknesses. Modern Day, the team's so good, they have so many strengths. But where Duncanville might have some success is getting to that offensive line, pressuring the sophomore quarterback for the Monarchs. That is something I'm going to be paying attention to. And then on the defensive line, I think Modern Day, their linebackers are great, but that D-line, they lack that big-name recognition. So even though, again, I expect them to be just fine, if there is a quote-unquote weakness with them, I look at the defensive line as well just because they don't have the name recognition. But like I said, I sound like a broken record. I don't anticipate it to be a big issue, but that's what I'm looking at. So, Andrew, I'll let you go on with some offensive notes for Duncanville, but there's sort of the modern-day roster breakdown.
Absolutely. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find any weaknesses with this Duncanville team, but yeah, there are a handful of question marks heading into this season. And the biggest one really is going to be who is going to take the reins at quarterback and take over for this team. Duncanville has really enjoyed a lot of deep round postseason success these past couple of years with a lot of consistency on that offensive side of the ball. They went to the 6A D1 state title game back-to-back seasons in 2018, 2019, losing that second time on a Hail Mary as time expired. And then last year, making it back to the state semifinals in 6A D1. Whoever steps in, though, at quarterback for Duncanville is going to have a lot of weapons to utilize in what's really a senior-heavy offense. Duncanville returns two of their top receivers from last year in Lontrell Turner and Chris Hicks, two guys who each put up close to 500 receiving yards last year. Combined, they accounted for 12 receiving touchdowns. I think that will help a lot in terms of getting this offense more vertical again. And then the other two playmakers you really have to watch for offensively with Duncanville are at running back and tight end. At tight end, Marcus Vinson is a guy who has started each of the past two seasons and played really an important role in Duncanville's success recently, but who hasn't been a prime pass target during that time. I expect to see his role really balloon a lot this year, especially as one of those prime red zone targets for the Panthers, just with his big size and physicality there at the tight end spot. I imagine his size will also enable them to set up the run game as a blocker, which is where I think they're going to thrive in this game. Running back Malachi Medlock is back for Duncanville. He's a Colorado State commit. He ran for 1,200 yards and 22 touchdowns last year in 12 games. I expect him to have a really big senior season coming off of that impressive junior year with an even stronger offensive line in front of him now. And I would say, as far as week one is concerned anyways, I would expect Malachi Medlock to get a lot of touches in this game, at least in the early stages, as they sort of try to find a rhythm there at quarterback. And I think defensively, the biggest question mark will be in that secondary. The Panthers bring back a really great defensive back in junior Deldrick Mason. Deldrick Madison. Sorry about that. He was fantastic last year in his first year starting as a sophomore, splitting some time between safety and cornerback. He's got offers from most of the major Power Five schools across the country, including Michigan, Oklahoma, Texas, and USC. He led the team with 5 interceptions last year, and he's a 4-star recruit, but he only has one season starting back there in the secondary. And he'll be the most experienced guy out of what should be a pretty green group, positionally speaking. So it'll be interesting to see how that youth and relative inexperience compared to the rest of this lineup sort of factor in for Duncanville. And I think that pass rush up front is going to be real key for the Panthers in terms of helping that secondary against such a formidable opponent in week one.
Certainly. From the modern day perspective, I anticipate them to win this game. We'll get to the score prediction at the end. But where I think Duncanville can make it interesting is if they can establish the run, that's going to be huge because that modern-day secondary, it's so hard to throw on them. They make it so tough. They pretty much return everyone from a secondary that was really, really good a year ago. Having a whole offseason now, getting another year of experience under their belt, that unit is incredible. So I'm excited for you to take that in, Andrew, but I really, between Duncanville having a new quarterback, and I know they have some good receivers, but the talented modern day secondary, I think it's going to be a challenge for them to throw the ball. So running it will be huge for them if they can establish it with that talented offensive line. And then the Colorado State commit, who you mentioned, a running back, that's going to, I think, be a key for them. And then on the other side of the ball, like I sort of touched on earlier, how can Duncanville potentially win this game, make it close? That defensive line, if they can pick on the inexperienced modern day offensive line, maybe get in Elijah Brown, the modern day quarterback's face a little bit, ruin his tempo, upset what he wants to do. That could be a big part of this game as well. And I wanted to, before I toss it over to you to try to maybe flip what I just said and talk about Duncanville a little bit, trying to keep it close. Modern day, they scrimmaged last week. Their defense looked amazing based on what I heard, but they had some trouble moving the ball. And they played a really good Corona Centennial team who's on the cusp of our Power 25. They could definitely be ranked down the line. But I think that's certainly noteworthy here. The modern day offense, it had a little bit of a tough time in a scrimmage. And I know it's only a scrimmage, but I think Duncanville's a better team than Corona Centennial. Them having trouble moving the ball could be a precursor and could occur again on Friday. So I think that's something to look at as well. I anticipate modern day will be better because, you know, Texas, it's Friday Night Lights, it's a big game. But I did want to mention that their defense looked great, and I expected that, but their offense had some issues in the scrimmage. So maybe Duncanville can hang around a little bit defensively if they can get some stops, because Corona Centennial in that scrimmage was able to do so.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the biggest factors heading into this game from the Duncanville perspective on the offensive side for the Panthers is going to be if they can win the big play battle. Because like you said, this is a very good modern day secondary going up against a quarterback who hasn't started a game before for the Panthers yet. So I think you're really going to, like Connor said, have to see the Panthers rely on that run game early and maybe get a big touchdown or two in the passing game, just on a one hitter touchdown type pass. Otherwise, I think they could have some problems finding some continuity offensively. And I think defensively in this game, it's going to be all about getting after the quarterback, Duncanville. I mean, this is a very talented defense at all three levels, but clearly their biggest playmakers are all up front. And I've got to throw out another name there to keep an eye on in this game, and that is sophomore Colin Simons. He's going to be right there next to Abor and right on the defensive line. He hasn't played – he played mostly sub-varsity ball last year, but he already has a handful of D1 offers, and he has the size to play either as a pass rusher at defensive end or at linebacker. So I expect that positional versatility to be big for them, especially in a game like this where that offensive line for modern day is maybe more focused on the senior guys who already have a few FBS offers under their belts. I think that pressure defensively on the quarterback will go a long way. If Duncanville can't get sacks and can't collapse the pocket, then I think modern day is going to be able to throw the ball maybe not a ton, but more than Duncanville would like in this game. And I think that's going to be a linchpin in their success if they're going to win this game.
What was so impressive about Elijah Brown, who was a freshman last year, quarterback for modern day, was not only did he put up the great stats, but he never really looked rattled. And even when he was under pressure, he was very smart. And he'd take a sack when that was in the best interest of his team. He wouldn't try to do too much. And so I think that season a year ago, even though it was only six games, modern day still played all really, or it was only five games for them. They played really good league opponents because they're in that really tough Trinity League. And I think he learned a lot. So I anticipate even if he gets under a little bit of pressure, he's shown that he has what it takes to hold on to the ball, be smart, not do anything stupid. And if modern day has to punt it a couple times, switch the field, they can rely on their defense to win them the game, I think. So what Elijah Brown did last year that was so impressive, he didn't lose the many games. And I had St. John Bosco ranked ahead of modern day to start the year because I had no idea what Elijah Brown would look like as a true freshman quarterback, a kid who was in eighth grade a year ago. And he wowed not only my expectations, but everyone. So I anticipate him, if he is under pressure against Duncanville, doing the right thing. And if it has to be a defensive game for modern day, he'll be all right with that. He won't try to do too much. He won't really feel a lot of pressure because he didn't a year ago. So I think he's certainly an X factor, as every quarterback is. And then I have a couple other X factors, but just to respond to what you were saying, Andrew, I think the Duncanville defense, it sounds like, can certainly get pressure on him. But based on what I saw from Brown last year, even though he is so young, that didn't faze him a year ago. And unless the modern day O-line is just terrible, which I don't anticipate that happening, I think the few occasions Duncanville will get pressure on him, he'll be smart, he won't make mistakes, he'll be a game manager, and I anticipate will lead the Monarchs to a win.
Absolutely. Yeah, kind of building off what you said right there, I think if the Monarchs can really find a way offensively to make things a little more side to side instead of between the tackles straight up the field, I think they really give themselves a better chance that way. spacing out this Duncanville D and kind of working around that pass rush to an extent, you know, whether that's some QB scrambling, some screen passes here or there. I think that's kind of their key to neutralizing that attack. But you bring up an interesting point, Connor, with the neither of these teams really being fazed by the moment or the magnitude of this matchup. I mean, I know Modern Day has played a lot of big games in their day. Duncanville is a team that's used to playing out-of-state opponents to start off their season. They lost to IMG Academy out of Florida to kick off last year, but then won 10 games in a row after that. The year before that, they took out St. John's from Washington, D.C. And week three this year, they actually have an opponent from Ohio on the board. Connor, it seems like of all the possible teams you could put into a matchup of this caliber, these two seem about as well prepared for the moment in the spotlight as you could really find.
Certainly. The other one would be St. John Bosco from California. Those two are the just the best of the best, the elite of the elite, and they've shown that in the last few years. And I know in Texas there are some other teams as well, but you're right. Duncanville, they played IMG a year ago, like you said. They like these kind of games. They want to schedule these kind of games. Two other X factors I have for Modern Day, two guys I look at as being really important. If this Duncanville defensive line is able to get to Elijah Brown, I look at Relik Brown, the Oklahoma committed running back for Modern Day, as an X factor. They can hand the ball off to him and avoid Brown dropping back and maybe facing some pressure from that D-line, and he can move the chains. He's a home run hitter. He's so fast. He's shifty, tough to bring down. I think he's going to have a huge game, and he can also catch passes as well. And then one guy on Modern Day who is never really featured in the recruiting rankings, and you know, he doesn't have that much buzz around him, but he's just a winner, is a kid named Quincy Craig, and he will most likely start on both sides of the ball for the Monarchs. So I know what you're thinking. How can a kid who starts on both sides of the number two team in the country not have all this buzz? I don't know. He doesn't, but he's just a winning player. And last year against St. John Bosco as a defensive back, the St. John Bosco quarterback made a beeline for the goal line, and Quincy Craig dove and knocked the ball out of his hand, and Modern Day recovered the fumble, and that just changed the momentum of that game totally on its head. Modern Day went on to win. He's also going to start at slot receiver this year, Quincy Craig, for the Monarchs. And whenever these last couple of years Modern Day has won a big game or, you know, needed a big play, he's someone I look at who's bailed them out and who is just an under-the-radar kid who's a winner, first and foremost. So I think if I had to pick my main X factor, it would probably be him, because he's going to play on both sides. He'll see a lot of time. And I think he's a smart player, a talented player, and just a clear X factor for the Monarchs. So I look at him as having a big impact in this game when you maybe in the fourth quarter you need a first down or you need a stop. He's a guy I trust to make that play. So I wanted to finish the discussion with him because I think he had a great junior year and will be a huge player for the Monarchs this season.
Absolutely. And in terms of individual X factors, this is a guy we brought up earlier in this conversation for Duncanville, but I think linebacker Jordan Crook is really going to be the one guy to zero in on if you're a Panthers fan in this game. Crook is probably Duncanville's most versatile defender. He played alongside Kendrick Blackshear, who was a great linebacker last year, who's now at Alabama. This is a really deep group positionally, even though Duncanville graduated a few guys like we just touched on. Last year, Crook led the team among all returners defensively with 93 tackles, 16 tackles for loss, 6 sacks, and 3 interceptions. I really think his playmaking ability is going to come in handy for Duncanville. And I think if they want to neutralize that rushing attack of Modern Day's and really kind of clamp down on the outsides and kind of force Modern Day to play between the tackles, I think he's going to be a big part of that. And I also think he's going to have to help a lot in terms of pass coverage in this game with so many new guys kind of making their debut in the secondary. I really think of all the defensive stars that Duncanville is bringing into this game, Crook is probably the most likely to be seen making plays at every level in that game. And I think his performance is really going to be key for them if they want to pull out the victory in this one.
Do you know, Andrew, and I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, anything about the kicker for Duncanville? Modern Day is a very good kicker. So if it comes down to a close game at the end, I think they can rely on him to make a field goal. And again, if you don't know, it's okay. I don't expect you to know about the kickers. But has Duncanville, do they have anything in the kicking game? Do you know?
Truthfully, I'm not super aware of what Duncanville's kicking situation is right now. But along those lines, I can say that these past 3 years where Duncanville's had this extended run of success, it's really been because of the points they've been able to put up offensively. The last 2 years between, I believe it's 28 games, between 16 2 years ago and 12 last year, they were averaging something like 45 points a game. So obviously a lot of those players are no longer in the fold anymore. But I guess the larger point is this is a Duncanville team that traditionally, at least with the volume of points they put up, is not used to being in a whole lot of close games. So that is something to potentially keep an eye on there. Whereas I think Duncanville will have a big edge in the return game just with the overall team speed they have. I think that is something to watch because it sounds like these are going to be two really elite defenses where it could come down to potentially a final score in the waning moments. And I think special teams is something to definitely keep an eye on there. I'd give a slight edge in that department to Modern Day heading into this game.
Yeah, and I know Modern Day won't have the usual depth that they have. They might throw some other kids and special teams in a home game just to do so because they have so many kids on the bench. But when you got to fly, they maybe won't have some of those, you know, fruit and special teams guys. So we could see some really elite players playing special teams. So I agree. Okay, I want to get out of here with the score prediction. But before I did that, I wanted to look at the scores from last year for Duncanville. So they lost to IMG 41-14. And then in that semifinal to Carroll, they lost 34-27, and that Carroll team went on to lose in the championship to Westlake. So I think with that, it looks like IMG was able to have some success defensively a year ago, but putting up 14 points against them is still impressive. I think I'm going to go Modern Day 24 and then Duncanville 14. If IMG, which was a really good team last year, one of the best in the country, held them to 14. I think with a new quarterback, Modern Day should be able to do that as well with their great defense. 24 might be a little high on the Monarch side, but we'll see. 24-14 would be my prediction. How about you, Andrew?
I agree with you in the two big picture items that this will be primarily a defensive game and this will be a close game by the time it's over. I lean towards Duncanville in this game because of the home field advantage and a little bit because of, honestly, the level of experience both these teams had last year. That'll be something interesting to monitor in this, since Duncanville played 12 games last fall and Modern Day only played 5, but it was much more recently. I give the slight edge to Duncanville. I think the Panthers win this game 28-21. And also a fun fact for those out there, the last time Duncanville lost a game at Panther Stadium was in 2016 against DeSoto. So this is a team that does not lose in Duncanville very often at all. But it should be a very interesting game, and I think it's safe to say this is the best team that's been to Duncanville in a very long time.
Awesome. Nothing like the two guys from two different states picking the hometown team. So that'll be awesome to watch. Maybe we talked about it in our meeting yesterday. We'll have to think of a wager and the loser will have to do something, and you know we'll figure that out. I don't want to parse that out here, but Andrew, awesome, great breakdown. Thank you. I'm excited to see you this week. What a game we have on our hands. You retweeted me Modern Day. They have no COVID issues at all. They all tested negative, so they're all going to be going down, and the game will be on officially. And man, it's going to be great. You have Duncanville. I have Modern Day. What a game this is going to be. And I think I'm glad we picked separate teams because now there's a little bit more riding on it. So that'll be fun. Before we go, any parting thoughts? Thank you for joining us. Hopefully we can do something like this down the line if there's another big Texas-California matchup. But final thoughts before we go.
Absolutely. I mean, thanks again for having me on your pod. We'll have the SB Live Texas podcast debuting sometime here in the coming weeks as well. But overall, yeah, I'm very excited for the season to be here and for the season to be starting with this great premier matchup. Very excited that it seems like everything is a go and all the lights are green for this matchup. Very excited to see you in Duncanville on Friday, Connor, and I'm excited to see how this one shakes out.
As am I. For Andrew McCullough, I'm Connor Morissette. Tune in to the big game Friday night. Follow our coverage, SB Live California, SB Live Texas, Instagram, Twitter. Check out the websites, the app for our post-game analysis, write-ups, videos, highlights, pictures, you know, all that great stuff. It'll be all over on both of those sites. So thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.